Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have two special guests. One you just met during our worship time. That's McCall. Let's hear it for McCall. Who's excited to hear McCall later tonight? This guy's got a show that you are not going to want to miss. It's going to be fantastic. But right now, I'm going to turn it over to our keynote speaker for the night. I'm super excited to hear him, and I'm super excited for what he's here to share with you. We interviewed him specifically and brought him in specifically because of what he has to share. So do me a favor. Open your ears. Go ahead and open your ears like this. Open your ears. Open your heart. Do something like this, okay? Just this kind of motion. Open your heart, okay? Open your eyes. Let's open your eyes. Good, good. Take your mouth and close your mouth. Okay, that's good. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you Mr. Tevin Lucas.
What up, FSM? Who's ready for a great night tonight? Awesome, awesome. Well, I'm Tevin Lucas. I'm going to jump right into things tonight. I'm so excited to be here at your very first VIP night. I just want to say thank you so much to Zach and the rest of the team here at FSM. You guys have amazing leaders that are doing amazing things here. But tonight, I'm going to be reading a couple verses out of John. So if you have your Bibles, if you would like to turn with me there to John. I know a lot of you guys probably have the whole New Testament memorized, huh? I thought so. But the first verse I'm going to be reading, you probably hear it a lot, is John 3:16. You guys, if you've been to church, you've probably heard this verse enough, but I'm going to share it because it's very important for tonight. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And this is so awesome, and this is so important, because I'm going to share a story, and some of you guys might know this, but I'm going to start off by telling you the story of God sending his Son to live a perfect life, a sinless life, to die on a cross for each and every one of us, so that we could have eternal life forever. But after he died on that cross, in 3 days, he was resurrected from the grave. And that's where I'm going to pick up in John 20, verse 11. None of you guys have your Bibles, huh? It says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. See, he asked her, he said, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?'" And I'm going to camp on this part right here. Who is it that you're looking for? If look to your neighbor and say, "Who are you looking for?" Now say, "What are you looking for?" See, thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not ascended to the Father yet. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" See, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And then she told them he had said these things to her. See, this is so amazing. How awesome would that be to get to go to people and say, "Our God is alive. The man that was crucified on a cross 3 days ago lives." See, Mary Magdalene, I would say she was a friend of Jesus. She had a rough past. She was a prostitute at one point. And this is the first person that he appears to. See, today I'm going to talk to you from the standpoint, I know what you're looking for. If you guys would bow your heads with me and we would ask God to join us here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much. I thank you for the opportunity to get to speak to these kids today. Lord, I thank you for all the people that you brought here. I know that you don't do coincidences, that they're here for a reason. I ask that you would speak through me today, that it not be my words, but it be yours. I ask that they hear your voice, not mine. Lord, I just lift you up. And I also want to lift up the Broncos for the Super Bowl. Because they're going to need all the help they can get if they're going to win this one. Heavenly Father, we pray these in Jesus' name. Amen. So, when I was in seventh grade, I know, how many seventh graders we got here? A few? Okay. When I was in seventh grade, I fell in love. See, I was in love. It was my very first girlfriend. We would walk down the hallways, and there would even be times where we'd walk past each other and make eye contact. And we were texting all the time. We would text every day, nonstop. And I'm sorry, but it didn't last. See, this love, we dated for 6 months, though. That's good in seventh grade. But after our third hug, we decided that we were going to break up. But ever since we started dating, we started using the word love. I was like, I love you. Like, the first day I asked her out over text, and she was like, yes, over text. And that very night, I was like, I love you. And she's like, I love you too. And I was like, yeah, you do. And so ever since this day, I knew that there was two things that I think all humans desire. One is we all have the desire to love. The second thing is we all have the desire to be loved. Am I right? But see, in this world that we live in, we're so infatuated with love. We see it everywhere we go. In the movies, we have this guy named Nicholas Sparks. If you've ever seen one of his movies, The Notebook, Safe Haven. I've seen them all a few times. And it reminds me of that relationship series you guys are starting. But the other thing is that the songs that we have, everything's about love. Right? All these songs, everything that we see, there's so much love. But we've accepted this counterfeit form of love. See, we just want somebody to want us. We want to feel wanted. We want to hear somebody say, I love you. Am I right? But see, God, in this life that we live in, he's given us a 66-book love letter right here. And today I'm going to tell you about three different types of love that we see in the Bible. The first type of love that we see in the Bible is this love called eros. This is a Greek term meaning desire or longing. This type of love is a sexual love, a romantic love. It's a very selfish type of love, right? The second type of love is this love called philos. This is more of a brotherly love. A love that you would see between companions. And I think that we can all agree that we could categorize these two loves as earthly love. Am I right? We see it everywhere we go. We see these two types of love. But the third type of love that I'm going to talk to you about is this love called agape love. This is a reckless, abundant, not because of you, but because of him type love. This is a love that you don't deserve it, but you got it. This is a love that God has for each and every person on this earth today. See, but the thing is, this is the type of love that we are all looking for, but we're just looking in the wrong places. You're not going to get this love in the movies. You're not going to get this love from music. You're not going to get this love from a person. But see, God sent his son to die on a cross because he said, I want that man. I want that man in my family. I want you in my family. And I'm going to show you by sending my son to die on a cross for you so I can have you because I want you. But so many times in the world that we live in, we look to the wrong place for love. When we think of love, we think of a heart. Am I right? But the true symbol of love is a cross. See, this love is shown in the Bible. The true symbol of love is a cross. And see, Paul, this guy who's wrote a lot of the New Testament, he's writing to a church in Corinth. And they're not doing life the right way. They're not living exactly how God or Jesus planned for them to live. And they're missing one key aspect, and that's love. And he wants to show them and wants to explain to them how important love is. So if you would turn to me, we're going to be in Corinthians 13. In verse 1 it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mystery and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Do you guys hear what he's saying here? He's saying that without love, we have nothing in this world. We can have the greatest of gifts, but without love attached to this, without love being the forerunner in this, we have nothing. See, Paul goes on to give us this description of what true love is, what agape love is. He goes on and says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then at the end, he gives us this amazing description of what agape love does. Love never fails. See, this is so important because this is the love that we all want. If you hear these things, if somebody were to give you these things and love you this way, you would be all for it. This is what God has to offer for each and every one of you in this room today. See, this agape love is reckless, abundant, ridiculous, sometimes unfathomable. This agape love is so amazing. See, I think that a lot of times when we hear about the cross, or if you were to ask somebody outside of the church what the cross truly represents, you would hear things like judgment, religion, that church that kicked me out because I didn't talk right, that church that kicked me out because I didn't dress right. These are the things that are associated with the cross. But the true symbol of the cross is love. And I think as Christians, if we've been given this agape love that God has for us, if we've experienced the love of God, it's agape. It's something that you didn't deserve, but you got it. It's forgiveness that you didn't earn, but you got it. And as Christians, it's our job. I heard a man by the name of Carl Lentz say, our experience should dictate our expression. See, we've experienced this love of God, this forgiveness that we didn't earn, right? A love that didn't walk away from us. So why don't we express this type of love so that people would see and truly understand what the cross represents? We need to love that person that may not deserve it in our eyes. We need to forgive that person that might not have asked for it. It's our job as Christians to show people this type of love. See, I have 3 points that I'm going to make today. 3 points that I think agape love does. The first point is agape love gives us peace where we stand. See, agape love gives us peace where we stand. And some of you say, what does that mean? And I get this from the verse that I read out of Corinthians where it says, love always protects. And this might confuse some of you guys, but if we look around at relationships in the world today, we see a lot of people in relationships, and there might be one person that's, oh yeah, I got it all, I'm good. And then there's a guy or the girl that's insecure about the relationship, right? Always has to dress nice. Always has to say the right things. They feel like if they say the wrong things or don't look good, that they're going to lose that person. See, and so many Christians get a bad theology of thinking it's what we do that makes God love us more. It's what we do that makes God want us more. It's what we say, it's how we worship, it's how we pray that makes God love us more. That's not true at all. See, this isn't an earthly relationship because it's not earthly love. This is agape love. See, so many times we look at God this way. But I'll tell you what. We have peace where we stand because we have Jesus. And he will love us no matter what. No matter how good, how bad, how ugly. He doesn't care. He loves you. The second point that I'm going to make is agape love gives us hope for the future. And some of you, again, are like, what? What do you mean, hope for the future? I don't get it. And when I look at Paul's verse explaining to us what agape love is, I see love never fails. Right? How many of you guys have heard the verse that says, God is love? If God is love and love never fails, you know what that means? God never fails. Right? See, we see this type of love, and I can tell you that it will never fail you because not even death could defeat the person that has your future in his hands. There's a man crucified on the cross, and he rose after 3 days. I know we hear it a lot, but think about it today. How unreal is that? How awesome is that? The God that holds your future in his hands rose from the dead. And I'll tell you what, God has never failed anyone before, and I'll promise you this, he's not going to start with you. And my third point, and Baron, you can come on up. So we have agape love gives us peace where we stand. We have agape love gives us hope for the future. And the third one today, and if you haven't been listening this whole time, I want you to hear this because I think that this one is one of the most important, one that I think a lot of high schoolers and middle schoolers need to hear, is that agape love breaks every chain. See, when I look at Paul's writings, I see him say, agape love keeps no records of wrongs. See, when Jesus took that cross, he says, I love you, I want you, I forgive you, and you're free. And I've been in the position before where I said, I don't feel free. I walked away from God for a time in my life where I didn't know what was going on. And I got addicted to some things. I got suicidal for a point in my life. I started to doubt him. I thought he failed me. I started to believe these things. And when I wanted to come back, when I needed this type of love, this agape love, I was too scared. I said, God doesn't love me. God can't want me. I've been too bad. The earthly love has walked away from me. Right? I've been there before. I said, I've messed up too much. I've done too much stuff wrong.
Hello?
I've done too much stuff wrong in my life. Right? But God says, no, 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 no. I love you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, I love you, I have, I do, and I always will. And I have a question for some of you guys tonight. If God, the creator of the universe, can forgive you of your past and let go of all the things you've done wrong, why can't you? This is agape love, folks. See, I walked away. And some of you say, why do you get so passionate? Why do you get so worked up about this? It's because I've seen this agape love save my life. I've seen this agape love want a kid that nobody else wanted. I've seen this agape love fill my heart when I was about to take my own life and say, I want you. See, this agape love is so amazing. And when you say, I'm too bad, I've done too much wrong. No, God knew you were going to be messy. God knew you were going to make mistakes. God knew you would walk down that path. That's the whole point of the cross. The whole point of the cross is for people like you and me, broken people. The whole point of the cross is that God would give us this amazing symbol of how far he is willing to go to say, I love you. That's love. That's agape love. That's the love that God has for each and every one of us. I know there's some of you here today that are saying, I've been looking for love. I've been looking in the wrong places. See, I've got this feeling that love is something I get from a person. But I'm telling you today, no matter how beaten, how depressed, how insecure, how lost you may be, that God loves you, that God wants that pain. See, if agape love gives us peace where we stand, we have agape love, gives us hope for the future, and we have agape love breaks every chain. I know that there's chains that need to be broken tonight. I know there's heartbreak, there's mistake, there's lust, there's addiction. There's things that you guys are going through tonight that this agape love washed away when Jesus shed his blood on the cross for you and for me. See, this love is so much greater than earthly love. This is agape love. This is love from God.